This episode of The Line is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome to The Line, Trek FM's podcast dedicated to Star Trek Picard. I'm Justin Ozer, and we have a special episode for you today to talk about all of the big Star Trek news coming out of New York Comic Con. So join with me today are all of the hosts of The Line and Treks from The Line. So we have Brandon Shematala. Brandon, how you doing?
Good. Did you want to help me finish this painting?
I don't know how.
That's not true, you liar.
Chrissy, how you doing?
Pretty good. Looking forward to talking about this.
All right. Excellent. And Mike, how you doing?
Not too bad. You know, I saw some new Star Trek this week. I'm going to get to see some more new Star Trek this week. I mean, it's a pretty good week.
Yeah, absolutely. And Max, how you doing?
Pretty good. We can call turbo lifts elevators now, so I'm very happy.
Right. So it's great to have the five of us. So listeners, you should be listening to Tracks on the Line, where Mike and Max have been doing some commentaries of TNG episodes. I think you guys are going to get into some Voyager stuff in a little bit as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. And we'll see. Maybe something else will be thrown at you and you'll have to watch Enterprise or something. I don't know.
That's my biggest fear.
Mike and I are like the only people on the planet that don't like Scorpion.
No, I like it. It's just not anywhere near the best episode of Voyager.
And we're apparently the only people on the planet that think that.
Yeah, you guys are weird. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Scorpion exactly, but we are here to talk about the panel at New York Comic Con. So we're going to talk specifically about the one related to Picard, as well as the trailer. So at the panel, there was Patrick Stewart, of course, and a lot of the rest of the cast, who I'm sure we'll talk about, as well as some of the executive producers and Hanley Culpepper, who is the director of apparently the first three episodes, they said. So I just wanted to actually go around first with any impressions you want to throw out there about the panel or about the trailer, and then we can talk about some specific things. So, Mike, why don't we start with you?
Well, you know, as far as panels go, I think it was pretty, you know, paint by numbers. Obviously, they were trying to get like their big beats out, their big information, but really there wasn't much beyond what was in the trailer for Picard, you know. But there were a few little tidbits here and there, which I found to be rather interesting. So that was cool.
Okay.
Maybe you could tell me what, because I mean, like, I didn't have time to watch the panel.
Yeah.
And I'm like searching for news and
I'll send you a link. They put the panel up yesterday, so I can send you a link to it. But yeah, there isn't really much news aside from what came out. Like, I mean, the big news is, aside from what's in the trailer, I mean, not much. Patrick Stewart likes Pitbulls, I guess, and
I think there was a little. I watched the panel today. I think there was a little bit more than that. Okay, maybe I should take this a different way. I mean, first of all, we know it's premiering on January 23rd, which I think is a little sooner than we would have thought. Which I think is great.
Yes,
I think there are some tidbits about the different characters and things. But if you didn't see the panel, Brandon, maybe we can just talk about the trailer. So, I mean, like impressions from seeing that, Brandon.
Well, okay. So I'll start with my thoughts on that it's a good trailer and I enjoyed it, but I am nowhere it's not like I'm more excited for the show. Like, I think the second trailer did a much better job of making me excited for the show than this one did.
Interesting.
Because there were things in the second trailer that surprised me that I was not expecting. And there really wasn't much in this trailer that was surprising to me. We knew Riker and Troi were coming, right? We see a few other things going on that were hinted at in the previous trailers. The thing that excited me the most about this trailer was seeing the TOS era, Romulan Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what I tweeted out. That's the thing that really got me going in this trailer.
Because that was surprising for you, right?
Because that was surprising. It was something that I wasn't expecting to see. So it was a good trailer. There's nothing wrong with the trailer. I just think the second trailer did a much better job of getting me excited for this show.
That's pretty interesting, because I actually tweeted out after I saw the trailer, it actually made me cry, and I totally didn't expect that. There was just something about seeing Riker and Troi and seeing Picard. It got me even more excited, but that's just my opinion. But Chrissy, your thoughts?
I'll echo what Mike said about the panel. I watched it live, and then I watched it again today, and I was like, okay, well, there's a little bit of information, but the best part of it really was the trailer. And I don't know, the idea of seeing Riker and Troi not on the Titan, I want to know the story behind this, and I hope we get it. Are they retired? Were they just?
Yeah,
I mean, they could be retired. They could have been on vacation. For all we know, that's in a holodeck. So
it's a Nexus. I already said that on the nerd. It's a Nexus. That's Kirk's cabin from Generations. He's making Katarian eggs with Dill. You know,
Riker makes Owan eggs. That's established.
Yeah, but this is the Nexus.
That's true, and only Worf liked those. So that was, I am just. It was so heartwarming to see them together again, and that thing of his kid yelling in the window, "Dad!" It was just wonderful. I know everybody's talking about that, but I just love it.
By the way, I'll just insert a little tidbit here. So for the the child, on IMDb, there's a credit for a character named Kestra. So I think that's their daughter named after Deanna's sister that had died. Yeah.
Mm.
Cool. So I think it's cool.
Yeah. Nice little.
See, everybody's been saying that's his son, but I didn't think,
you know, you couldn't really tell from the voice. I thought it was son, but I listened to it again, and then seeing the information, I was like, oh, it's their daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
I totally thought it was Siri Yanko from Pen Pals.
Right. Sure, they brought her back. Max, your general impressions?
Well, the panel didn't have a ton of information that was revelatory or game changing. It's very easy to get me emotional about this, so I got a little emotional when Patrick Stewart talked. So, but the trailer was the thing that that got me, and like, I was crying from the moment he said number one.
Yeah,
and yes. The rest of it, I was like, I don't know what those ships are. I can't see well. And then Riker and Troi showed up, and I was just gone. I mean, I'm on board for the show, man. I'm real excited. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna stop now because I'm cool.
No, keep going. I would like to hear you cry.
I'm very happy about everything that I'm seeing. And it's like, yeah, they got old school Romulan ships. I don't buy it. That's all. I don't buy it. I don't think that's legit.
It could be a flashback or something like that, right? It could be like the story of these Romulans.
It could be a flashback. It could be a holodeck. It could be he's teaching kids at the academy about Romulan history. It could be all sorts of things. There's going to be Romulan nonsense throughout this thing because of what happened in Star Trek 09 off screen, because they had to explain a bunch of nonsense to justify a really big revenge plot. I mean, whatever, man. They got to lay some pipe in order to make some stuff make sense retroactively.
I think those Romulan Birds of Prey that you see in TOS are like the accessory class for the Federation. They're in service for a really long time, or they just keep making them for some reason. So that's how I think of it. But
it's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like vintage cars, you know?
It's
like people bring out their, you know, 67 Chevy. I don't know if that's a thing. Has Chevy been around since 1967? I don't know. But
yes, it has.
Yes, longer than that.
That'd be okay. An Impala.
All right, there you go. See? So that's what it's like, you know?
All right.
It's the 67 Warbird.
Okay. Well, let's go on to talking about some details of the trailer here. So basically, it opens in the vineyard. You see Data painting something. Seems like maybe it's some figure, maybe it's Dodge or something like that. And
it looks like the girl to me.
Yeah, Dodge. It kind of looks like that. And Data has his uniform from TNG season 3 to 7. So does Picard. I think it becomes clear it's kind of a dream. But I just wanted to see, like, in that sequence, I mean, do we think that he's just going to see Data in his dreams, or, you know, where is that going?
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens, right? I mean, we've already heard from Brent Spiner that it's going to be like kind of like unconventional, that he's not a major part of the show, mm-hmm. or at least not in every episode, like that sort of thing. Like the two little bits that we've seen both have that sort of vibe to them, you know. Mm-hmm. This one I think gives more clarity to that, but yeah, I think that it's going to be essentially the ghost of Data past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. and apparently it's conjured in Picard's dreams that he looks somewhat different, right? I know, Brandon, you had a big problem with this, right?
Well, I mean, I just tweeted out, I'm like, what's wrong with his hair? And I said it in the guy's voice from Red Letter Media when I tweeted it, yeah. right? So, what's wrong with his hair?
I was just thinking that maybe this is what they could come up with in this time, and they'll touch it up or change it, but maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, they should. I can't put my finger on those things, but somebody else did it for me. They're like, it doesn't recess. His hair doesn't recess to his temples. It's just like this round thing, like Tuvok's hair, right? Where it just kind of comes around and down, and it doesn't go back into the temples like Brent Spiner's hair does. Plus, it's like solid black, you know, like crazy black hair, which is odd. I mean, I'm not dumb, okay? Like, what? Brent Spiner's, what is this, 33 years now?
Almost. We're getting 32 on. Plus after the premiere, yeah.
Right. And I mean, like, the original reason, I think, why he wanted to die in Nemesis was because he's like, look, I can't explain Data aging this much. Like, he's got to die at some point, you know? So, I mean, it's not like I'm disappointed to see him, and this is not a hang up on me. Yeah. It's just like, this looks really odd, this picture. And
yeah.
somebody pointed out to me why it does look odd.
Well, yeah, to be fair, his head is several hundred years older than the rest of him. So his face might
true.
Age
500, right?
More. Yeah. than the rest of him. So, like, maybe that's the issue. Maybe it's all that time he spent underground in Time Zero that's behind this.
Yeah, or maybe it's just a different head or something. I don't know. Who knows what the logic is, but
he just changed his hair.
Well, no, it's not. Actually, no, because it's just the dream, and I don't know. I don't think it's the hair, because if we do see him, his body's been destroyed by the Thaleron weapon.
Yeah.
So, like, this is B4's body, which is not a 500-year-older head.
Yeah. He is... I don't buy the idea that it's just a dream. I'm sure that there is a dream component to what's going on, but, like, you're not going to bring him in order to be in a dream sequence and have a drawer full of Data parts
sure.
and then not do anything with that. Like, those two things combined means that there's some Data plot line going on.
I know what you're saying, Max. Life is not a dream.
Something like that.
Pass the marshmallows.
Hold on. I'm just going to figure out where the camera is on my laptop so I can glare at it.
You got it. Okay, so... done? Okay. So there's this dream sequence, right? And actually, before Picard wakes up, there is this sequence where you see some ships that are firing. There's a bunch of smoke. I don't quite know what's going on with that. They don't seem like Romulan ships, but what do you guys make of that? That he's like flashing back to some battle or something.
Well, that would probably be, if I had to guess, I would say that's the rescue mission gone bad.
Yeah.
Right, because they're interposing it with the dream sequence. It's his memory of the bad thing that happened that helped him to leave Starfleet.
Yes, that makes sense.
And if that is an evacuation of Romulus, I know the old Romulan ship is not in that scene. I don't think it is, but that might explain why we see it. Because if it's get everybody on deck and no matter anything that'll fly, then that might explain
seeing
old ships.
Those were attacking a city. I think it's something different. Than evacuating Romulus. But
I know, I was just connecting it to the other thing.
Okay. So he kind of flashes back to that, and then he wakes up with his dog, number one nearby, we've seen before. Yeah, and then it goes into a part where Picard is saying that he came to the vineyard to find safety, but no one's safe from the past, and then, you know, Daj comes saying someone's after her. I think I noticed this time around that she's bleeding or something like that. I don't know if something has like just happened, but I mean, clearly there's this mystery about this character that we really don't know much about yet, right?
I didn't notice that.
I didn't either.
I think it looks like there's something like near her hairline where it seems like she's bleeding or something like
that. I thought that was in the first trailer. I thought she had a cut on her forehead from the first time we ever saw her.
What color is the blood?
It was red.
It's red. It's red blood.
Okay.
It wasn't lavender like Klingon blood.
Or green.
That's right. Lavender is canon.
Yeah.
That means it's not Lal then.
I don't think it is, but
well, I mean people were saying that, so.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
People out there.
It was Larry. Larry said
people
that.
On the internet. Freaking
Larry.
Eggs on Twitter.
So then after that, basically, I think it cuts to San Francisco and Starfleet headquarters, and inside there's like a hologram of the Enterprise D, which I think is pretty cool. It looked pretty much exactly like we've seen it before. And then Picard saying he's there to see someone. So I think during that part, even before he starts arguing with this admiral, there's like this scene where there are all of these people with like things on their foreheads that seem like maybe they're androids. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's that they're definitely some type of an android. It looked like F8
F8 for Fate, which is like that's in line with something like B4, but it's
painful. I think
it could tie into the new Terminator film too.
Or it could also tie into the 8th film in the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah, legit. Yeah.
Fate
yeah.
of the Furious.
That's the most likely.
Or it could just be coincidental and we'll see F1 through 7.
I highly doubt that.
They're all F8.
What's F8 on a keyboard? I don't remember anymore. The old DOS commands.
I don't know. But yeah, it seems like... So what is this? Almost like... Like an army of androids, or, you know, the kind of thing that Picard had worried about, that there would be some, you know, race of android slaves or something like that.
It's interesting. I just immediately assumed that they were Borg.
I kind of thought that too. Okay. Yeah.
Like, I
got the impression they were in Starfleet somewhere.
What?
I got the impression that they were somewhere in Starfleet, those androids.
Maybe. I didn't see them, they just didn't seem to be doing anything Borg-y. I just assumed that they were former part of the collective. You know, they were little baby freeborgs.
Maybe.
Yeah, see, it looked to me they were in, like, a storage area, and there was lots of them there, were just, like, pulling one out.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do with them? They're Borg. It's hard to trust them. I mean, you'd be crazy to let one be on your ship.
I know.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought at all that they were Borg. I thought these kind of look more like androids, but I guess we'll find out.
I thought androids too.
Okay.
But they're all different. Like, why would you make all of your androids different looking? Like, that seems like a lot of effort for androids that are just going to stand around in a warehouse.
Isn't that what Harry?
I didn't notice any faces.
Yeah,
but Harry Mudd, he was playing a very deep game. Like, he was thinking very long term. This is not that.
Maybe it is.
So this ties into the Harry Mudd short trek. So both of them are definitely post-I Mudd.
There you go.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I was thinking they might have been holograms along the lines of the Doctor, but the mm-hmm. the idea that they're kind of warehoused, that negates that, I guess. Unless it's like a sample. Like here, open up the door and here's all the options.
Wow. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things this could be. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you see that. And I think while Picard has that voiceover, he's saying that there's an obligation to investigate. And he's actually walking with one of these androids or whatever. So then you see him inside Starfleet headquarters. He's arguing with an admiral. He says he's standing up for the Federation and what it should still represent. And they kind of argue a bit, and the admiral says, "This is no longer your house, Jean-Luc. Go home." So mm-hmm. I thought that was, we saw, I think, maybe a little bit of that, but I thought it was interesting that they're arguing over. It seems like in all of this, there's something that's going on that the Federation is, I don't know, looking the other way or sanctioning, that Picard has a big problem with, is going to deal with himself. But I don't know what that thing is.
So basically, this is just like insurrection.
No, he was still in Starfleet. No, but it does seem like he's doing something that goes against what he's supposed to do, right? He's supposed to just stay at his vineyard and go ahead.
Because he's retired. But I mean, like, that's exactly what I thought when he said that. I'm like, oh, so this is just like an insurrection plot line here where he's going against the Federation. He's going rogue because they're doing something that he doesn't want to do. And I'm like, well, we've seen that.
I mean, I guess, but I think we've seen that type of plot a billion times before in Star Trek and everything. And, you know, just because that's like the bare bones of the plot doesn't mean that it's not going to be substantially different and better.
Mm-hmm. It'll be easy to make this better than Insurrection.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just assumed that like the issue was going to be like the treating of whoever these people are as less than people, and that was going to play a big role in it, because there's this girl who comes to him and is like, "You got to help me. I'm very important for some reason." And the Borg are involved, and I'm like, "Are they former Borg? And is this about how the Borg can be saved? Is that what's going on?" I don't really care exactly what's going on, but like, if there's an issue of like possible like an influx of refugees, and the Federation doesn't trust any of what's going on, and like Romulus is gone, there's a lot of chaos, and they might be very reluctant to trust in something that is so tenuous. But Picard has this innate connection to the Borg and is terrified of them, but also really does empathize with the ones that want to be free. So I could see that somebody going to him and saying, "You're the only person who can understand what I'm going through and what the people I represent are going through, and why these people want me dead so badly."
Mm-hmm. That is one thing that they did say at the panel. Someone asked about, you know, like current events and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they did say that, you know, obviously, the refugee crisis that's going on right now, or whatever, that's a very big component thematically to what's going on in Picard. So,
I think they did say that specifically.
I was based on actually what Matt was saying was going to trigger me to say something. I bet you that they would do something like that, because they're not afraid to tackle current issues on Star Trek, and that's fine, and it's a good thing that they do that. But maybe then, with this extrapolation, maybe that this girl, Orange, maybe she's one of the android variants, right?
Or and maybe then, she's a former Borg somehow. I don't know.
So, you know, she's gaining self-awareness, and you know,
interesting possibility.
And she's on the run because they want to make her, I don't know, do things that she doesn't want to do, like work or whatever, right? So, and then it's an issue of rights.
Just didn't want to work.
Yeah. Okay, Chrissy?
The Federation, she wants to, like,
I think you had something
open up her.
Right. Star Trek is about talking about modern issues, current events, under the veil of aliens, so that the NBC censors don't get mad. So, yes, I think we should assume that there's an issue of current events here, but Something just occurred to me when you were talking about the Borg and what do we do with them and are those Borg? What, and this, okay, total speculation because that's what we're doing at this point, but it might be that the Borg are being treated the way the Doctor was concerned about his counterparts being treated on the mining colony.
I can see that.
We can't do anything with you, so we're just going to turn you into robots, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably really good at math.
I was thinking manual labor, but sure.
You know, I don't know if I mentioned this at a previous episode, but I had this idea that what if you could take Data's memories that he uploaded into B4, put that into a hologram, give it a mobile emitter, and it could go out there in the world. I think that would be really interesting if they took that way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they will, but that would mean it's more
like
than
that.
A dream, right?
That would also allow him to change his appearance in any way he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now that I'm out of that dream, I'm going to look like I really want to. Yeah.
Well, I meant the hologram, but yeah.
I'm going to look like a guy from that Barbie video from the late 90s.
His hair does look painted on, awesome. Though. I hope that they're going to fix that.
I think it's possible to make a change, because I think we even saw in some of the Discovery trailers, compared to what you actually saw on screen, they added visual effects and they changed some things. So I think it's possible, but... It is a little distracting for now. All right, let's keep going with what's in the trailer. So after he has this argument with the Admiral and the Admiral tells him to go home, he leaves. He's talking to somebody. I feel like the person that he's talking to who asks him if he wants to go back out into the cold, and Picard says more than ever, I feel like I have seen that actor a lot, but I...
Oh, he's everywhere.
What's his name?
I don't know the guy's name. He's
it's
everywhere.
A guy who's from, everywhere.
The guy who's sitting
across from him.
Oh, that's David Paymer. He's the best actor ever. Just that day, I was watching for another podcast, I was watching Quiz Show, and he plays a very prominent role in that. Mm-hmm. But if you want to see him at the absolute top of his game, check out Get Shorty. It's amazing. And he's hilarious in it. But yeah, no, David Paymer is the best.
He's everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, like, Al Pacino's a pretty good actor.
Not as good as David Paymer. I mean, yeah, he's good. I mean, Godfather Part 2 was cool, and you know, Any Given Sunday, certainly a highlight, but American President, Payback, yeah, I mean, you're just looking at his filmography, it's amazing. 163 movies, so yeah.
Okay.
Who else is a good actor? Let's list.
Well, Patrick Stewart.
I was about to say Sir Patrick Stewart.
That was a joke.
Yes.
Oh, Alison Pill.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. So he's talking to David Paymer. Okay. So then after that, he's talking to the character of Raffi, who's played by Michelle Hurd. They're somewhere, well, in the Vasquez Rocks, really, which is kind of cool. And he's saying he has a plan, and she says another top secret unauthorized rescue plan. So some sort of rescue plan or something. I don't know. I mean, there are these parts in the trailer.
She sounds jaded.
Yeah. She sounds very jaded. Are you guys familiar with other things Michelle Hurd has done?
No, not really.
No.
Nope.
I'm not so much.
Yes, she was in... What did I just watch with her? I did that panel in Saskatoon, and I'd written her list down. And she was in something that I just recently watched with her, but I can't tell you now because I forget.
So. Okay. Well, she's somebody that's out there in the desert.
Blind
that
Spot?
Knows him.
No, it was another TV show,
Hawaii
though.
5-0?
No.
Lethal Weapon?
No.
Daredevil?
No.
Jessica Jones?
That's where I recognize her from, is Daredevil and Jessica Jones, though. Okay.
90210?
No.
All right.
This is becoming awesome.
You'll figure it out.
Go to IMDb.
But, okay.
I've clearly seen one thing with her. It's like...
It'll take you a while to get through all of it. But anyway, so he sees her. Actually, one thing that I got out of the panel was she was saying there's some kind of history with Picard. They know each other, have some sort of relationship or something. I don't know what. I mean, it could be anything, really. She could have been a kid on the Enterprise D or something, for all we know. But
stop the press. It was Ash versus Evil Dead.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
That's the one. All right. So then after that, we see Dr. Girardi, who's played by Allison Pill, who's apparently some kind of robotics expert. They've been talking about something. She says it's everything that's ever mattered to her, and she's coming with him. So that mm-hmm. seems to say it has something to do with androids in some way, right? Because that's her whole research. So,
well, it could be the Borg research there too, right? Like,
no, that's true. It could fit into that, I guess.
She could be a person whose parents were killed by the Borg or whatever.
I know, we don't know. And of course, every time at the panel when they'd ask them for more, they're like, I can't tell you yet.
Yeah, but that's the quintessential Comic-Con panel. Yes, but in a way you won't expect.
I think maybe they gave little bits.
Yeah.
So then Picard is saying that, you know, they'll need skills and courage. You see shots of Elnor, who's kind of the, I don't know, elfin kind of Romulan with the sword.
Legolas.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. And then Rios, who's actually going to be the captain of this ship that they're going to be on. So then it goes to a shot of a cube. But then I thought one of the parts that maybe I didn't expect was that there's kind of parts of a Borg and there's like flesh kind of coming out of it. It doesn't look like it has arms anymore or something. And then you see Seven crying over someone. We don't know who.
Chakotay.
Maybe. I don't know. People were saying like, is it Hugh? And I think Jonathan Delacour tweeted like, I hope not. But or something like that.
He said he was amazed at how many people thought it was him.
That's what it was.
Which gives utterly no information.
Yeah, it doesn't give much information. But I don't know. There was something about that shot that stuck in my mind because it's like the Borg exoskeleton and there's like flesh that's like hanging out of this torso or something. Anyway, so something's happened to someone that Seven cares about. I think after that, then you see the ship that they're going to be on. I don't know if you guys got a good glimpse at that ship. It seems like it's a smaller ship, but it looked different than what we've seen before. What do you think?
I remember seeing it and thinking like, oh, that's like the new ship. And then it was gone and I'm like, oh, and that was it.
Just saw a little bit and then it went to warp.
I thought all the virtual display was interesting. Yeah, now that they've got that worked out with Discovery, so.
Yeah,
but then there was...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, and then there's the old-fashioned part of me that says, what happens if you need to actually hit a switch?
Yeah, isn't that like a thing that actually happened in like the U.S. Navy or something like that, where they had like all of these like touch screens, but they found that for whatever reason, like they were not as practical to use, so they actually like retrograded everything to like switches in order to increase functionality.
Who knew Tom mm-hmm. Paris was such a visionary?
I don't know about that. I know they keep the nuclear stuff on
Wessels?
Really, yeah, the nuclear Wessels are on old computers if they're computerized, to the extent that they're computerized so as people can't hack into them.
Yeah.
So that goes along with that.
Huh. Well, hopefully we'll see more of that ship. I mean, the other part that we see that we saw in the other trailers is there's some command area and there's lots of like space behind them. But anyway, so then after that, so I think that's where we see the TOS style Romulan bird of prey. And I think whatever this new ship that we're going to focus on is firing on that Romulan bird of prey. So like, I get the impression in a lot of these things that there are different factions of Romulans. Some of them are kind of with them in whatever this cause is, and some of them are against them and they're like different factions. Did you guys get that sense also?
No, I didn't get that. No,
I kind of did based on what they were saying at the panel, because they were talking about like the two Romulans and how they came from very different backgrounds and how the two characters didn't like each other and, you know, all that stuff. So it did make it sound like there was some sort of, you know, fracturing of the Romulan Empire or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that was when they were talking about Elnor and Narek, the So two Romulan characters. So anyway, it seemed that way to me that there's something going on where things have fractured after the destruction of Romulus. But
it's interesting. I didn't see it as like a like factional like conflict. I saw what we're seeing in the trailer. To me, it seems like the vibe I'm getting is like everyone in the main crew is like off the grid. They're not going with what their people want. So whatever political organization they're going up against, it's most likely fairly uniform. And the Romulans and the Federation are all sort of in alignment, even if it's an uneasy alignment. And the heroes of the story are kind of the rebels in their own little Millennium Falcon going to blow up the big square Death Star.
Okay, then.
Maybe, yeah.
The factionalism amongst the Romulans does make sense just from Nemesis, though. Okay, from an historical standpoint, it's only been 20-some-odd years. If you have an event like that, think about it, the entire Senate of Romulus is mostly destroyed. Yeah, you have very little of the government left, and you have to start over, and there's this factionalism. I know that's in the books. I can't remember how much of it is in the movie.
And then 10 years after that, the planet blows up, right?
Yeah. Which is going to create divisions all by itself because there's some power vacuum, right?
Right. So, I mean, you take that and then add natural disaster, and actually that's even more social commentary, come to think of it.
Okay. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think one thing that I noticed in the previous trailer is they had three different kinds of Romulans, some that look like the ones from TOS, some that look like the ones from TNG, some from 2009. So I think they're trying to say that there are these different people and trying to kind of unify the different things that we've seen, and we'll see what that looks like. So I think after that, it seems like there's a shot where Picard is doing some sword fighting. I didn't quite expect that, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
He
was fighting Trelane.
It's like he's traded his fencing sword for like a long sword. I mean, it looked like a big sword, didn't it? Anyway, I thought that was kind of cool.
I went by too quick. I'm wondering if he's going to be fencing with the Elf Romulan.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because didn't he have a sword at one point?
Sword seems to be his thing. Yeah. So then after that, let's see. So I think like at a certain point, you see this kind of TOS style female Romulan who's talking with someone that she was sent for a reason. I don't know like who she is or what's going on with that, but and about getting the information that they need. I mean, there were a bunch of things that kind of flew by quickly there, I think. But then you end up seeing Seven, I think, talking with Picard, saying she helps people who have no one else to help them. I think there's a shot of Hugh in there. I think that's kind of interesting that Seven has taken it upon herself to help people who have no one else to help them. What do you guys think about that?
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, she seems to be the most interesting part of the series in a lot of ways. I mean, I guess maybe it just in terms of like questions of what it is she's doing and stuff like that. But also, you know, the fact that from a, I guess you could say like personality standpoint, it looks like she's changed the most over time. Although, I mean, I guess they gave some hints as to why that is.
From a personality standpoint, she has one now.
Right. Yeah,
she's become more human.
She's not as robotic, you know, in a sense, you know. I mean, she's taken on more of a casual persona or whatever.
Yeah. Although what's been interesting is I've been rewatching Voyager starting with Scorpion, and you do see her kind of like gradually change or certain parts where she opens up to that. It's not quite like she's just kind of like cold and robotic the whole time, but for the most part she is a lot more formal than you see her in these trailers. Right.
I mean, she fell in love with Chakotay.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I think it was at San Diego, or maybe it was at Vegas or something, where she talked about it, and you know, basically the implication that she gave, I think, was that, you know, she's essentially disguising herself in order to fit in, right? I mean, because there's a lot of hatred towards Borg on Earth, and if you act more human, right, then that then you will be more accepted by humans, right? I mean, I think she flat out said that, or implied it at the very least at some panel somewhere.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, and it's also been a couple decades, so people change, right? Or they adapt, or, you know, she's around all of these humans, you know? Yeah, I could see that. So then I think, well, before we get to the part with Riker, I guess there's a shot that lots of people have loved of Seven with like two phaser rifles or something, yes, just looking really fierce. Yeah. But and it seems like, you know, like, I think it was a surprise before that Jerry Ryan be playing Seven in this series. I mean, it seems like the different parts that you see here, I think her character might be more important than I might have initially thought. And she had also said something about my first two episodes at Star Trek Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be in three or four or something like that, maybe more. I don't know. It seems like she's going to be important to this show, which was a bit surprising.
See, I think we did the math at one point, which now the math seems to be off a little bit because of whatever, but it sounds like she shows up maybe in episode four?
Three, I think.
Well, they said three.
No, if Connelly...
Yeah, you're right, because we thought three because it was the first one that Frakes directed, but they were saying at the panel that Connelly Culpepper also directed episode three. Is that what you're thinking?
I think that might be a mistake because it's been listed already that Frakes did three and four, right? Like, that's been released as information.
I know, but like I was watching the panel and they were talking about two episodes, and I think it was Akiva Goldsman that corrected and said, well, actually three that you mm-hmm. did. Anyway.
Well, you guys interviewed her. She said two in the interview.
I know. I don't know. We'll maybe find out.
What does Akiva Goldsman know?
I don't think they said the first three. I think they said that she did the first two, and then he said three. So maybe she came in
later,
somewhere along the line, to pick
that
up for somebody.
Make more sense, because they have been doing them two episode blocks.
Someone did say first three, but I think it's quite possible that they were incorrect. Okay. You know, yeah.
Three or four.
She'll come back and do the finale. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Who knows? Or they're pulling a Grave Danger or whatever and splitting one episode up into two early on.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It's possible.
Could be.
Or half the information is just flat out lies, like and Frakes and Sirtis saying that they're not involved at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in Toronto on the set, but we're not in it at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were in Toronto on the set of Discovery, but anyway.
Sure, they were.
Whatever.
I'm beginning to think they're going to be in Picard.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, hey, the next scene is when Picard shows up to see Riker, and
in the Nexus.
Kirk and Riker have the same taste in houses, and I'm assuming he's in Alaska or something. I don't know.
The architecture isn't exactly the same.
It's not.
Have you seen the Klingons in Discovery?
Yes, I have.
This is closer to Kirk's cabin than the Klingons in Discovery are to the Klingons.
Oh, I thought you were saying that this cabin is closer to the Klingons in Discovery than it is to a real cabin in the world.
Yeah, well, regardless of the cabin. So yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit, but so when Picard is coming by to see Riker, I think there's got to be some kind of story purpose. It's not just for old time's sake. So, like, why is he coming to see Riker?
Well, based on the dialogue, it sounds like he's basically coming to say, like, hey, am I crazy, you know, mm-hmm. for doing this?
Yeah. Advice.
You're not crazy!
It does feel like, to me, I don't know. Like, as much as I love seeing them on screen and everything like that, just from the little snippet that we've seen, it really does kind of feel like they're doing the thing which they say they really don't want to do. And, you know, being like, oh, look, it's our favorite people. They're off to the side here. Hey, you know, kind of like the Veronica Mars movie or something.
Really? You think that?
I think that kind of. But also the fact that that scene is in the trailer. I mean, then again, you know, I mean, whatever. I was just talking to a guy who like edits trailers, and someone was like, you know, I hate how you put the whole movie in the trailer. And he's like, well, how do you know there's the whole movie? And it's like, oh, because I saw the movie. It's like, well, there you go. You know, so I guess you can't fault them for that, but it is kind of weird, like, to have this sort of, like, probably unimportant scene, you know, play such a prominent role in this, you know.
How do you know it's unimportant? I don't know.
I'm just guessing, but.
Could be. Chrissy?
Yeah, we don't know where Riker ended up. Assuming this is them in retirement. And not just on vacation or whatever. Okay. It's entirely possible he goes to Riker after he goes to that admiral or before he goes to that admiral, trying to get backing from someone who maybe had a little more authority. If Riker ended up as an admiral before he retired, or was an admiral and is on vacation. Yeah.
I think Jonathan Frakes has said that he and Troy are in the series in a, I think he said, non-military capacity. So I think implication is they're retired at this point. But yeah, it could be. Maybe he still has some kind of pull or something.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, it seems like a sleight of hand where you bring somebody in who you know will occupy the attention of everybody watching. Like, oh my god, it's Commander Riker, he's back, holy cow, and nobody notices that it's a massive exposition dump scene.
I think that's probably accurate. I just hope
that's my guess.
I just hope that, you know, after retiring from Starfleet, he's become a filmmaker, you know. I see a couple of Oscars sitting on his mantle.
Maybe made like
why?
A because that's what Jonathan Frakes has done, right?
Oh, okay.
But
where is that in Riker's resume? All right.
Did a series of films with Noah Wiley?
No. All that I need is for Riker to pull out the trombone and prove he can play Nightbird. That's all I need. Because, man, perfect. He still struggles with that note. But, yeah, like, clearly it's something that they put in this trailer because everybody's like, ah, Picard and Riker. But, like, I noticed also that, you know, after that scene and after Troy hugs him, they have, like, a bunch of quick cuts of, like, a bunch of stuff that, I don't know, maybe they're trying to put something in there. But I didn't quite get – and there's some weird thing in those cuts where – they're playing, there's like some ball and they're playing some game, or there's some like pulse that's coming out. Like, what was going on with that?
I saw the ball. No, I thought somebody was playing soccer.
Playing soccer.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Or football for football, our listeners outside of the US. But yeah, so, I mean, then there's a bunch of stuff, and Picard saying, you know, we all have a story just waiting to be claimed. And then it goes back to the Picard and Riker. They're sitting on some dock on the water, and Picard saying, thank you for not trying to talk me out of all this. And Riker saying, believe me, I know better. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Somebody pointed out that's the doc from Friday the 13th, part 3.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Camp Crystal Lake.
That's cool.
It's not though. Not really. It just looks
I
like
did
it.
See that.
But so anyway, it ends after that. So I think this trailer is almost 3 minutes long. I think there's a lot of stuff going on. Probably you're right, Brandon, besides the TOS style bird of prey, Romulan bird of prey, there isn't too much that's like a huge revelation. But I thought there was a lot of interesting stuff going on, and I'm just really intrigued by it. Let me actually just like go around, since we've gone through the different parts of the trailer, to see if there's anything else that you wanted to highlight or talk about. I'll start with you, Chrissy.
No, I think I got it covered. Before we found out that it was that one guy sitting talking to him, would you say David Paymer?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Traveler.
Really?
Because, yeah, I just, the guy's kind of shape just kind of made me think of the Traveler. And I thought we were going in a whole other direction, so.
That would be weird. Oh, and Wesley's back. But it appears back. We're not.
That would be amazing. Season that, 2?
Yeah. You know, the misdirect with having Riker show up could be like the misdirect with the information that was coming out about Spiner saying he was going to be in it and no one was expecting Jerry Ryan.
Yeah.
Never know.
Wesley shows up. He's got weird CGI hair.
They've CGI'd him to look like the future Wesley that you see in season 1.
Yeah. They CGI Will Wheaton to look like that random guy from season 1.
I think he'd do it. He seems to have a lot more friendly feeling toward the whole Star Trek thing now than he did years ago. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him again.
Yeah. Hmm.
I don't think David Paymer's been in Star Trek before.
I think that's correct.
No. Yeah. I was talking about Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking him up and I'm just flabbergasted by that. I'm like, what?
So he hasn't been
because he's been in everything
else. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in everything. Yeah.
Well, now he can't say that.
He was in, wasn't he in Ocean's 13?
Yeah, he's the guy, the guy who they torture, the diamond star, whatever, and he goes through absolute hell with the, you know, yes, the
bed bugs,
the bed and, bugs the food. And the food poisoning and the everything, and then in the end, he gets the little spoilers for Ocean's 13. If you haven't seen Ocean's 13, check it out. It's lesser Soderbergh, but lesser Soderbergh is still better than 99.9% of anything else.
We're spinning off this episode of this podcast into a different podcast where we talk about David Paymer's career.
Apparently.
Sub-podcast about Ocean's 13.
I think we have the title for this. It's this episode. It's David Paymer's in it.
Yep.
I mean, like, that's the most important thing,
That's all you need to know.
Come on. That was a surprising bit of information. Did you expect him to be in there?
Hell no. And I was so happy when he was. Oh, my God.
So, well, let's talk about something else. So, Brandon, let me go to you. Anything else you wanted to add?
I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm glad that we finally have a date.
Yeah.
I'm very excited, very eager. You know, they didn't reveal anything on it, but we do have the short trek coming, which is great. Yeah. We knew that was coming already.
Is it confirmed that's
the one? I mean, I just assumed, but is it confirmed that's the one?
Okay. So I think the answer is yes, Mike, because I saw an interview, I think, that had Alex Kurtzman and Heather Caden, and they were saying first three are Pike's Enterprise, then there's going to be two that are animated and related to Discovery. So that only leaves the last one being for Picard, which is Children of Mars, which would be January 9th. So I think for sure.
And it looks like the two animated ones are released on the same
day.
Well, that'll be fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And there's a second short trek that's going to be out in a couple days. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
there a couple right away here?
Yeah, on Thursday. The 10th. It's the Trouble with Edward, which I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure.
Is that the one with H. John Benjamin?
Yes, it is.
And I'm fairly certain it's directed by the This Is America guy. So that'll be cool.
I thought that was one in November.
No.
Because October, November, December.
Well, so the October 10th is Trouble with Edward, November something.
Okay.
What is the third one called? I forgot.
The girl who made a star or something.
Something like that.
The girl who loved Tom Gordon?
No.
What?
The boy who lived? What?
I don't know.
So,
nothing. Stephen King.
The Children of Mars thing. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody on Twitter, I think it was on Twitter, had mentioned that, that's the line from Picard about, you know, the Picards that had settled on Mars.
Yeah.
And then, of course, somebody else said, what about Romulus and Remus? Who are the twin sons of the god Mars via the Vestal Virgin Rhea Silvia. So probably has more to do with the latter than the former, but don't know.
Interesting. I just think it's great that we're going to get one of these short treks that's going to be in the 24th century. I think that's really cool and something that leads up to Picard. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's great. It's Star Trek short treks. It's not Star Trek Discovery short treks.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I was hoping when we got our first season of short treks. I'm like, I really hope this becomes Star Trek short treks and not just Discovery short treks.
I'm really curious to see what they, I mean, just from a weird, like what they do from a crediting perspective and from a titling perspective, you know, are they going to use this Discovery font? Are they all going to be created by, you know, Alex Kurtzman and Brian Fuller? I don't know.
These are questions that you lay up at night thinking about, right?
I wish that were not true.
You have nightmares about potential branding opportunities.
No, it's just about, you know, credit where credit's due and all the whatevers. So
yeah, you like the minutia. No, I think that's really cool, actually. So, Mike, other things that you wanted to add?
There's not really much. I mean, the January 23rd date kind of freaked me out because all other indicators seemed to make me think that it was going to be in like March, and now we have to figure out what episodes we're going to be talking about. You know, in the meantime, we're running out of time. That's scary. Everything is just so compressed, but that was pretty much it. It makes sense, though, that they would wait until January because they're about to run into Mandalorian and episode 9, and I got to think they don't want anything to do with that, right?
Yeah, fans can, too confusing for fans. Can't handle that kind of thing.
Compete for the brain space. Max, any other things you wanted to add?
I'm very excited that that Picard is coming sooner than we expected. I have absolutely no qualms about the difficulty because I don't do most of it. And even if I did, I don't care because I am very happy about this show.
Awesome. Love it when you're happy about something, Max. It's like a special treat. No.
Then you need to listen to our episode on Terminator Genesis that we did for Franchise Fatigue, coming out soon.
Awesome.
Max is a
big fan. I am a happy and positive person. Genesis. You're all jerks.
I know you're happy and positive. I'll just say you have very high standards. It's a compliment.
It's true.
Thank you. All right. Well, so I think it's been fun talking about this, and I don't know. We'll see what else more there is to come. I mean, is this the last trailer? Will they have another one before we get to January? What do you guys think?
I think this is it.
Yeah.
I think we'll have another one.
There'll be more.
Yeah. Okay. I hope so. All right. So, well, it's been really great, Mike and Max, having you on the main show to talk about all the big news at New York Comic Con. So, Mike, tell our listeners where they can find you online.
Aside from Tracks on the Line, you can find me doing Tracks from the Edge along with Max, where we do audio commentaries for Star Trek Discovery thingies. And you can also find us doing Film Damage on filmdamagepod.com. And you can find me on the nerdparty.com doing a show called Retro Perspective. And coming December 13th, I think, on the Talk Film Society, Bayhem, a Michael Bay retrospective. So check those out. And also on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K.
I just have to ask before I ask Max where people can find him. So are you guys going to keep doing commentaries like for Lower Decks and Section 31 and all that stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, we'd love to do them on Trek.fm, but, you know, if you guys tell us to take a hike, then we'll do them on our website. But yeah, you know, it's
take a hike.
It's like the thing about it is like we've talked about Star Trek for our entire friendship, you know, for like, what is it, like 20 years or 19 years or something. But we never really got to experience new Trek together. So now that's our chance. It's our chance. So yeah.
It's amazing. Yep.
You guys didn't watch Enterprise together weekly?
No. We did actually for like 2 weeks. Okay. And then we were like, we're done with this.
Sorry, Enterprise.
All right. Anyway. So, Max, where can people find you online?
I'm doing the shows, Mike, that he mentioned that I don't remember the names of. And I'm on Twitter at jmaxhagel. And lately I'm breaking down time travel for various movies and TV shows. So I'm doing Star Trek Discovery Season 2 now. And when I'm done with it, you're going to be able to buy it on a mug.
All right. It's these like graphical like timeline thingies. I don't understand them, but they make
the whole wonderful point is to help people understand. Art. What is wrong with you?
Okay.
He did some great ones for Terminator. For go check it out on UFP Earth on Twitter, and he did some great Terminator timeline ones. So
the whole point is to help people understand it. I don't understand why you don't understand it. Time travel isn't hard.
Yeah, lots of people in Star Trek would disagree, but all right. But all right. Anyway, it's been great having you guys here. I'm glad the five of us could get together to talk about Star Trek Picard. Well, it's been so much fun talking about the Star Trek Picard panel at New York City Comic Con, but that isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. Here's what you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
Okay, that's excellent. And it'll be interesting to see how we interpreted the topic, because I know I may have interpreted it maybe a little differently than others did. We'll see.
Is this another time travel thing?
No, I was going to say, no time travel for me, as long as Jellicoe doesn't come into this.
Sure. Okay. We'll make that deal then. Awesome. I'm in.
All right.
Literary treks.
And, you know, the stakes are really big. You know, we'll get there, but, you know, this Borg ship threatens Earth and all this kind of stuff. And it just feels like it's a lot of really comic booky, over the top stuff that doesn't quite fit right with the novel that came before it and the novel that came after it, if that makes sense.
Primitive Culture, a look at history and culture through Star Trek.
And Next Gen arriving was this sort of, wow, this looks incredible. I know when we look at sort of first season Next Gen now, what we're going is, wow, this is really slow and stagey. But in fact, it was incredible. It was absolutely game-changing.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
Only because I was watching little bits of Emissary recently, is that he would see himself wearing that awful purple swimsuit and think, oh God, I can't wear that.
Oh my gosh.
Every time I see it, I'm like, whoa, I'm really glad I'm not wearing 24th century clothing.
If you wanted me to murder an entire society, fine. But I'm not wearing that bathing suit.
Too revealing.
That's where I draw the line.
That's funny.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, please be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. That helps other people find the show.
And if you're not an Apple user, like me, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Windows Phone, and in most third-party apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
Well, I guess since you're not an Apple user, that was a perfect thing for you to read then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not an Apple user?
No, Android.
Not everyone is.
Yeah.
I am, but
I have an iPad. That's all that I have.
I enjoy Honeycrisp apples. And this time of year, caramel apples.
They need more apples in Picard, I think.
Where's Groppler Zorn when you need him?
Too many grapes, not enough apples.
You mean where is the enslaved space jellyfish?
Mm. No.
Yes.
Mm. Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select the line. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. So, Justin, where can people find you when you're not blowing people away with your double barrel phasers?
That's just what I dream about every night, really. I mean, Seven is living the dream, apparently. Well, you can find me otherwise. God, I lost my thought. Well, you can find me otherwise. I'm just thinking about those double-barreled phasers. Okay, so you can find me elsewhere on the network co-hosting Earl Grey. That's our dedicated Next Generation podcast. I have a great time every week with my friends Amy Nelson and Joe Keegan talking about the Next Generation. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek. And you can find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook. So, Chrissy, where...
I got Justin distracted with Seven's double-barreled guns.
Yeah, that shoot people and kill them, all right? Let's be clear. So, Chrissy, where can people find you when you're not attempting to watch everything that David Paymer has ever been in?
Wouldn't even know where to begin.
IMDb has a comprehensive list for you.
That's true.
Start from the beginning.
That's too much. In addition to Here on the Line, people can find me in the Babel Conference, of course, and on Twitter at The Goddess Livia. That's TAGGODDESSLIVIA. You can also follow my work as an historian by liking the Facebook page my fellow historian partner and I run, History with the Zilagis. That's spelled Szilagyis, where I post about my historical research, including my blog and short podcast, Ancient Aliens is BS, where I go episode by episode debunking the History Channel series. And as of today, there is a new season that just started on Friday, so you can look forward to a new blog post debunking that most recent episode.
So much soon. To debunk, so little time, right?
Oh, gods, yes.
Yeah.
All right, and Brandon, where can people find you when you're not trying to figure out what other shows you've seen these actors on?
You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Metella. You can find me here on the network wrapping up my run on Warp 5 with my friend Patrick. Just a couple more episodes of that show to go. You can find me over on the Fandom Podcast Network with my friends Chris and Tom. We have a show called Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, where we go over all the wonderful Hitchcock movies. We just had our episode on Rebecca released. It was a whole heck of a lot of fun. And we had our friend Manish from the Talk Film Society join us to discuss that. And also the United Federation of Podcast Network hosts my show with Zach Moore. The show is called Franchise Fatigue. And we go through all the movies, remakes, and sequels in a franchise. And we are smack dab in the middle of the Terminator series. And I believe as of the release of this, the last one that just came out was Terminator Salvation. So we're very, very eager for Terminator Dark Fate. And it's coming up soon. And then, I guess that's all about it. That's pretty much everywhere you can find me. If you'd like to help us keep all of your shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. Available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
And we'd like to take this opportunity to recognize our current associate producer, Norman Lau. Thank you for supporting Trek FM and especially The Line.
So join us next time for another episode of The Line.
It's a thin line between love and hate. It's a thin line between love and hate.